John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Monica Nassif is the founder and former CEO of Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day. She is the author of I Bottled My Mother, the Mrs. Meyer's Story, Grit, Grime, and Growing a Business. Welcome to the show, Monica.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and what motivated you to put pen to paper for the book.
Sure. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've started four businesses. Two were belly flops, two worked. I've always liked to be on my own in terms of working. I grew up in a small town in Iowa with a family of nine. Today, I'm a mother, wife, grandmother, writer, consultant, board member. So I'm kind of doing a hodgepodge of things right now.
Keeping yourself busy, occupied.
Keeping myself busy, off the streets.
Off the streets. So, I mean, I love your products. Thank you so much for creating them. It's one thing to be an entrepreneur, quite another to write a book, or maybe it's not. Maybe you've always been a writer and you always knew that you were going to.
You know what? I've always been a writer. I got my first job at the Target organization. I was a speech writer. I wrote annual reports, newsletters, all sorts of things. And so I've always kept a journal, always kept notes, especially when something's funny or horrible. Or trust me, a lot, both those things happen when you're starting a business, especially when there's a belly flop. And especially when you go out and raise money, you have to take a lot of verbal, not abuse, but a lot of, as I say, you need skin as thick as a sleeping bag to survive some of the comments. But I've always kept notes. And during COVID, you know how that changes everything. I started taking a screenwriting class and I was working with my writing coach and she said, what are you thinking about doing next? I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book about my mom and I'm going to write a book about starting a business. Because it's really, my book is a memoir, if you will, of growing up in a chaotic household of nine kids. And it's essentially a love letter to my mother. She was a true inspiration in my life. And then it's a startup manual about entrepreneurship. I do a lot of speaking about entrepreneurship and I get asked the same questions over and over. How do you do it? Should I do it? How do I raise money? How do I execute my plan? How do I build a brand? So I thought I'm going to put pen to paper and put all this down in a book. So that was really the background for getting started in writing this book.
What'd your mom think of it?
She loved it. Yeah, she was in her small town, you know, she tells everyone she wrote this book. In fact, she's trying to get me to do a book reading at this little cafe down in Granger that only seats 12. And I said, yeah, Mom, I will. I'm going to come down and do it. She loves it. I sent her an advanced copy. She read it. She loved it. She keeps rereading it. When I call her, she said, I read a chapter every day. Just makes me so happy.
So, well, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome right there. God, what if she didn't like it?
I'd be in trouble, Gregor. I'd probably be grounded, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the old days.
Just like the old days.
Yeah.
So when you are talking about entrepreneurship, I mean, you mentioned there's so many different questions that you get, and there's so many different challenges and opportunities and everything else. What's your favorite thing to talk about?
You know, my favorite thing to talk about is I usually get asked the question, how should I do this? It's always the focus on how. And I say it's not the right question to start with. The question, should you be doing it? You know, do you have the determination, the perseverance, the stick-to-itiveness, as my father would say, to hang in there? Because times get rough. It's very difficult to raise money. It's very difficult to find people to work with you in the early days who think you're kind of crazy. You know, you've got this crazy idea. And it's especially difficult when you're kind of carving out a whole new category in consumer goods. A lot of people thought, what are you doing using personal grade essential oils and surfactants to create cleaning products. They just, even our vendors thought we were crazy. So you come up against a lot of thick brick walls and you have to say, I can get over, under, through it, but I'm going to get through it. And so you just have to have this dedication when you're lost at sea that you can see, you know, the shiny object, the shiny goal in the distance. And I find a lot of people get started, but they have a hard time following through when things get rough. So I think the more you can think about, can I deal with this? Can I put a second mortgage on my house, a third mortgage? Can I run up my credit cards to fund the deal? You know, we're not doing a cakewalk here. This is going to be hard work. So are you cut out for it? That's kind of what I think about when entrepreneurs approach me. And then the fact they think it through. I have a lot of people who come to me and say, hey, look at this item. I've created this and that. And I'll say, hey, have you gone to Target or Walmart and walked around and just see what's on the shelf? Usually the answer is no. You know, have you see where you might sit on a shelf in a Target? Because trust me, Target's not going to give you a whole new shelf for your product. If you're going in to a new store, someone has to get kicked out. So why is your story going to be so compelling that that buyer from a Walmart or Whole Foods is going to kick someone else out to bring you in? And I don't see a lot of entrepreneurs thinking through that, walking those stores, getting out in the retail marketplace.
Just wanting it really bad isn't enough.
No, you actually have to leave your computer and walk around.
You have to go into the real world.
You got to go outside.
And so it's not how, it's ought I. Should you do this? And should most people?
You know what? If you're prepared, if you have some initial funding, especially if you have experience in the area, and especially if you disrupt a category. You know, the other thing I see entrepreneurs do, they'll bring me some imperceptible change in a product or service. And I don't know who said this, but it's a great saying, different is better than better. You know, you just can't have one little minor tweak and expect the world to open up to you and or investors to even be interested in you. So I think you have to be really differentiated, very disruptive, or frankly, you won't get noticed in the consumer marketplace. You just won't.
How do you think about doubt, self-doubt, people doubting you?
You know what? I tried not to get caught up in what other people think. I just tried to control myself, you know, because trust me, you cannot believe what people say to you. You'll have investors who will take one look at your packaging and say, this packaging is hideous. There's too many words. No one's going to read it. You'll never compete. Or how do you think you're going to get on the shelf of Walmart? There's all more, 99% of the people are doubters. But I didn't doubt myself. I knew it was a good idea. So I think you have to kind of compartmentalize, if you will, the opinion of others. They can think whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. But I can control myself. I can control my thinking, what I do, and my actions. And that's kind of how I focus on self-doubt. Now, did I have self-doubt? Of course. Especially when you lose a major customer. Your manufacturer has a major hiccup in the production line. You know, a shipment going across I-70, going over the Vail Pass in the middle of winter freezes. All these things happen to you. And you have to believe in the concept. I always say when you're lost at sea, put on your night goggles. And what are your night goggles? Your mission and your vision. And if you can see that in the dark, you can get through that, all the doubt.
I love that. Put on your night goggles when you're lost at sea, and those night goggles are your mission and your vision.
Yeah.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
So it demands you have that.
Yeah, you have to have that for sure. Absolutely. If you don't have a mission and values, I wouldn't. I would stay home and continue to watch Survivor. I wouldn't venture out.
A lot of great shows to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
So many great shows. You could just sit at home instead.
Yeah, why start a business when it's so much easier? Trust me.
Mm. The next thing I wanted to ask you about was anxiety.
Mm.
What do you think about anxiety? Because I had to ask a question. I said I was going to ask you a question about it, and then I didn't. So,
what do I think about anxiety? Well, you have it for sure. I mean, I called myself a paranoid entrepreneur. Maybe instead of being anxious, I would describe my feelings as paranoid. But I think there's a couple of ways to deal with paranoid. I used to be, at age 16, I was a secretary in the emergency room. So I keyed in everyone's problems. And so I saw a lot of horror early in my youth, in my work career. And I always thought to myself, when we were making dish soap and hand soap, did anyone die? Were any small children were injured? No. I tried to put everything in perspective. And then that's one way to deal with anxiety, or I'm going to call it paranoia. The other way to deal with fear is, and this is a tip from my brother, he said, keep a victory log. So when something really good happens, you just keep it in a notebook. And before a anxiety-ridden presentation or situation or negotiation session, just look it over and then kind of visualize when you were, you know, at a high performance level. And the other reason is just to write down what's the worst that can happen. You know, what's the worst thing? And then I used to write it down and put a percentage of the possibility that it might happen. So it, actually, I know it sounds, well, I am paranoid, remember? So, it, you know, 1% of this chance of this happening, 2% of that happening. And for some reason, I found that process very calming because I thought, okay, that's not really going to happen. Let's move forward. So I think there's a way to deal with anxiety or paranoia as an entrepreneur.
You recognize you have it. And then you take it through some kind of an examination process or put it on trial. Say, is this really totally going to happen?
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. It really is a great way to describe it. That's what I did. I still do that. I don't know why, but I think it's just the way my brain works.
Yeah. I heard somebody say that so much of the stress that we feel is due to unprocessed, or rather open loops. So those are things that are hanging out there, and we know that they're hanging out there, and it's just taking up a little bit of headspace. And so just processing them and taking them through that trial is probably a really healthy thing.
Well, the other thing I would do is, having worked in the emergency room, is they practice triage, you know, red, nearly dead, yellow, kind of dead, but I think we can save them, in green, the walking wounded. And so when there was a problem at work, I would kind of go, is this red, yellow, or green? And again, it's just what you mentioned. It's the sorting and putting them in buckets and saying, okay, what problem are we going to attack right away? We're going after the reds. The others can just wait a second. So again, getting organized in terms of how you approach problems is really important.
So you started working as a really early, as a kid, as soon as you could find a job. And I understand that perhaps you maybe kind of snuck in the back door, or the side door, when you got your first job. Maybe you weren't old enough.
Well, I started out, you know, the typical babysitter. I was the oldest girl of nine, so I was highly skilled at babysitting. Two, I ran a crew of farm workers, six girls at age 14. We were used to walk soybeans. Now, do you know what that even means, Gregory? It doesn't mean I have a dog named Beans.
Well, I've been to Iowa, and I'm from Northern Minnesota.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So much roadkill in Iowa. If you've not been to Iowa, just you're driving past corn all day, or soybeans, and it's just dead animals everywhere.
Well, we didn't have to worry about that. We worried about weeds in the soybeans.
Okay.
So I was the crew boss for two summers. And then I lied about my age to get a job at a truck stop. And I did that for two summers. And boy, did I learn a lot. You know, my parents wanted us to get out and get a job, but my father was not too pleased when he found out I was working at a truck stop.
God, I can't imagine why.
Well, okay. He wouldn't. I had a great boss, though. Guess what happened on day one? My boss was as big as Boulder. He owned that diner. And he had a pot of coffee in his hand. And he said to me, "You see this pot of coffee? Someone says something to you or touches you inappropriately. You pour this coffee in their lap and you have them see me. Any questions?" I went, "No questions, sir."
10-4.
10-4. Nobody messed with us.
So, okay, that's even, I mean, what wonderful and diverse work experience, from the ER to the soybeans to the truck stop, and there's probably many other jobs. You mentioned working at Dayton's or Target. And I guess my ultimate question was, did you go to business school, and how did that shape your thinking? And did you have a business plan, and how organized was it for Mrs. Myers?
No, I'm an English major who happened to get into business through the Target organization. And I was fortunate to work for the president of the company who did all the entrepreneurs, the startup companies with inside Big Dayton Hudson Corp. That doesn't happen anymore. So I learned a lot from him writing speeches about innovation, capital allocation, setting up a business structure. So that gave me a great background. And then I ran a small agency where I learned to run a business. And yes, I did have a business plan for Mrs. Myers. In fact, I had it written and I was out raising money and I was having one heck of a time getting anyone to fund the deal. And finally, this corporate connection said, "You need to find this guy. He was an original investor of the Nerf ball in Minneapolis. He'll help you." So I know, crazy, right? So I went out to see him on a Friday morning at this dingy one-level building by the airport, and he was helping his son with a med tech company. And he sat and listened to my whole pitch. I didn't have a PowerPoint. I just had, about 50 pages of a business plan. And he listened to my whole pitch and he got to the end and he said, "Okay, here's the deal. I just want you to know something. I hate consumer product deals. I just hate them. But you know what? I kind of like you. So I'm going to go home. I'm going to read this plan over the weekend. And if I like it, I'm going to call you at 8 a.m. Monday." And he did. He called me and he goes, "I'm going to help you." And I think the reason he helped me is because he loved taking on the big guys. He was an ex-investor banker. He could keep up with any lawyer or accountant. And he loved business. He loved the challenge of it. And I learned a lot from this guy. He took my business plan, helped me kind of make it more palatable to investors. And so, yes, I indeed had a plan when we started. And I have to say, I learned from a lot of investors and vendors. When I would pitch my business plan to them, they would said, you're one of the few people who come prepared, who come with a PowerPoint, who come with market competition, how you're going to set up and structure." So yes, I did have a plan.
Nice. Not only that, but a really good one.
Yeah.
And some credit to the Nerf ball guy.
Thank God he showed up in my life. That's my mother. He was your guardian angel.
Think that that's awesome. Well, we're certainly up. Do you feel like we're living in and entering into uncertain times? And what is your advice to young people who are considering entrepreneurship or just looking out and trying to make heads and tails over what the playing field's going to be like?
Yeah, I think it's crazy times. However, I just read this story in the Wall Street Journal a couple of years ago that the word founder, the title founder, is now 69% more on LinkedIn than a year ago. So what does that tell you?
Wow.
People, first of all, they're getting laid off. Second of all, everyone's terrified of AI.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
And then third, which I think is kind of positive if people can figure it out, is they're betting on themselves. I always, that's how I went through my career. I always bet on myself. I thought, I'm not betting on these corporations. I could be here today, here today, gone tomorrow. So I always bet on myself. And I think it's exciting that people are doing this, but it's hard. But I think if people follow their curiosity, really do an assessment of what they're passionate about, what they're good at, the path will narrow in terms of showing you a way into something that's really exciting for you.
I sometimes struggle with, you know, what are you really good at?
Yeah.
How do you, and somebody says that, if I were to say that to you, how what would you say?
If I'm what am I really good at? I'm a really good creative problem solver. I'm very creative, super curious. I have I'm really good at looking at trends in the retail marketplace. Because I spent a lot, when I started this company, I spent a lot of time in stores. So much time in stores, I got kicked out of many by security. Because I really wanted to study how the shelves were set up, how many face outs products got. So by the time we went into the stores, I knew exactly how we should be set. So I'm good at visualizing the future and then making it happen. I can see it in my mind's eye. And that was the eureka moment when I started this company. I saw a whole 4 foot, six shelf section of products in my mind. And anytime I was lost at sea and I had to put on my night goggles, I rebooted that image. So I'm really good at seeing what the future should be like for a product or category.
I just love that so much. You see it and then you go about actually bringing it to life. It's this modern alchemy that is goal setting, understanding what it is that you want, and then executing and keeping those goggles on or putting them on when you feel a little bit lost at sea.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think, you know, I have two daughters who are in the business world, and they ask me a lot about my career. So I always go, chase what you're passionate about. You may not know what it is. For example, I still do this. I kept a huge Excel spreadsheet of topics. Music, theater, books, design, art books, business books, trends. And then when I was trying to solve a problem, I would look at that and say, what is the red thread? I call it connecting the dots. Because I get asked a lot by students mostly, why are you so creative? How do you have all these ideas? And I said, well, for one thing, I pay attention. I really pay attention. And I also keep track. I take pictures, I write notes. And so then when I'm looking for something, I kind of say, well, what's really happening here? Like, for example, when I started Mrs. Meyers, here's what I saw. Food was moving to all organic. Skincare was moving to all organic. And I thought, it's just a matter of time before that same consumer, she doesn't want that garbage in her house. So it was what you put in your body, on your body, and then around your body. So to me, it made so much sense that she was going to embrace a whole new concept of cleaning products that were safe, aromatherapeutic, and had beautiful packaging. That's the other thing that we really did that no one was doing. Our packaging was stunning because we knew we wanted to hang out with a consumer who shopped at Williams-Sonoma, had beautiful, you know, French ceramics, gorgeous linens, a hottie-totting espresso machine, you know, all these gorgeous things in her kitchen. Well, we had to keep pace with that. So that's kind of how I see the world in terms of developing a category for the consumer.
That makes a ton of sense. You didn't want to just create another bottle with like a volcano on it or like a bomb exploding for cleaning your house?
No, I didn't want to have 20% more suds. I just wasn't going to do it.
We're good on suds.
We got suds and that trigger's big enough. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Is that... You're obviously an intelligent person, high IQ. extremely great work ethic. But is that something anybody could do if they set their mind to it?
You know what? I think if you have a passion for it and you know how to get resources, for example, I had worked with a lot of design and ad agencies. I had built brands. Not that I'm actually designing the package, but I knew how to find people to do that. And so I think if you have experience building or you are open to that, and you're going to work hard and you study how big the market is, how you can cut in, and you're dedicated. Yeah, why not? Yeah, but it's a hard thing to do.
Would you recommend somebody who maybe they have a lot of obligations and so therefore they cannot pursue their entrepreneurial dream 100%, if they could carve out some extra time throughout the week or every day, would you recommend they do that?
You know, I think someone gave me some really good advice when I was young. Monica, life's in chapters, because I used to think, oh, I've got to have everything at once. Well, no. Can you start setting aside research? You know, can you set aside a couple hours to, it, No, I'm from consumer product. I'm not in the tech world. Can you go walk stores? Can you go look at interesting things? Can you study? You know, what I really studied were brands that had a higher trend affinity, such as fashion and beauty products, because I wanted to live in that same universe. So I really studied what I thought were really cool brands. So how could we be like them only for household cleaning? So can you set aside time to study, to do research, to get set up? So when you do have more time in your life, you can do that. But I think it's a part-time gig. I think that would be hard. I'm speaking for myself. I think that would be hard. I was really lucky. My husband was a stay-at-home dad with my two girls when we were doing this. So I was fortunate because I traveled all the time.
Well, Monica, thank you so much. Thank you so much for creating wonderful products that my family has used for many, many, many years and probably helped us to be healthier human beings. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Where can they get their copy of I Bottled My Mother, the Mrs. Meyers Story, Grit, Grime, and Growing a Business?
You can get the book right now on Amazon, Walmart, Target, Barnes and Noble, and many other bookstores. And you can find me on LinkedIn at Monica Nassif, or you can go to my website, monicanassif.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Monica your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of I Bottled My Mother wherever you buy your books. You can find Monica on LinkedIn and also her website, monicanassif.com. It's MonicaNassif.com. And look for her soon at that 12-person coffee shop in Granger, Iowa.
I'll be there.
Thanks again, Monica.
Thank you, George. It was fun.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.